Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we discuss the opening of Raven's Antiques. Local author Kelly Peel writes the book Seeds of the Sun. Don't miss the 2026 Lakeshore Literacy Summit on the 27th. And Mackinac Island is opening soon. We get a preview of what you can expect on the island.
Only get the best couple in studio. Jeremy Schnatala, Eric Gerson with us. We're here to talk, well, how about a mini museum for makeup? And how about a new antique shop for your interests? Big things happening in the lives of my next guests. Out and about, you often are. I look forward to this conversation, gentlemen. Jeremy, good morning to you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Eric, good morning to you. I tried to do my makeup for you, but I think I need to hire you for special events. Good morning to you.
You know, at any time. Thank you for having me.
Let's begin with, I guess, just more 101s of both of you. Jeremy, are you a West Michigander in general?
Yep. I was born in Muskegon, lived a little while up in the Upper Peninsula in Detroit, but came back to graduate high school over in Whitehall and came to Calvin College, and I've been in Grand Rapids for a very long time now.
Wonderful. Eric, what's your history?
Well, I'm from Mexico, and I moved to the States in 2003. And so I feel like I've been in the States more than in Mexico, so now.
Yes. Does Mexico get winter time?
Not like this.
Yeah, not like this.
No.
Silly question.
No. This right. is next level.
Very nice. Well, again, seeing you both out and about, we know the community you love and have invested in. And let's kind of take apart what we want to discuss today. First of all, Eric, what do you consider your specialty in life?
Well, I'm a makeup artist, and I've been doing makeup for, it's going to be over 20 years, which is crazy to say, but yeah, it's been that long. I do have a studio downtown that we just purchased 3 years ago, me and my husband. So it's our home. It's a Victorian home in Heritage Hill, but on the main floor, I have my makeup studio. And as I call it, my little museum, because we do collect a lot of different things, you know, from beauty, from the 30s, the 1800s. So when clients come to my studio, they feel like in a little museum. I have like curios full of like trinkets and little things. So it's a museum within a studio, makeup studio.
Yes, you okay with that, Jeremy?
Yeah, love it. I love it now. In our old house in Alger Heights, it wasn't as great.
Yeah.
A little bit smaller. This one works great.
How did you go about, Eric, collecting and making room for history in your home?
Well, it was thanks to my husband. I think I was a minimalist when I first met him. And slowly he...
I'm a maximalist.
Yes.
Said,
I
bring
started
it on.
Collecting things with him. When I met him, he already had, like, you know, that
antique flair,
and he had a bunch of, like, really unique pieces in his home when I met him. And so then I started loving, you know, the antiques, and then makeup came as a profession for me, and then I started collecting, like, little, you know, beauty compacts, and I created my own collection. So that's
cool.
How I started.
We'll get back to more of how you you work. All right, Jeremy, you're up. Antiques important in your life?
Definitely. I've started antiquing back when I was in high school, actually, collecting old milk bottles and vintage trinkets. And my grandma used to make us little treasure boxes, she would call them. And I was one of the only grandchildren that loved the antique things. So she was always giving me stuff from her childhood in the 20s and 30s. And I've just loved it since then. And I'm also a theater director, and I've prided myself in using real vintage things in a lot of my shows. So I always joke that whenever a show came up, my house was empty because I was bringing all my furniture and antiques to use them in the sets. And people sometimes would be like, hey, that play, that living room looked just like your living room. I'm like, because it was.
It was. There we are. You jump in with both feet. Is there a new antique shop to be opened?
Yes, we are super excited. We've been selling, you know, doing antique fairs and some online selling. And once we bought our Heritage Hill home 3 years ago, we started purchasing things for the home and collecting. And as we found that we had extra things, we were just collecting and accumulating more. And this building came up for sale that I was just driving by last fall. And it's on Clyde Park, 1750 Clyde Park Avenue. And it was just this beautiful old building from the late 20s, brick building. And we called a realtor, did a walkthrough, and just fell in love immediately. And so that began the whole process. And it's been just like 2.5 months of just rapid acquiring the building, getting all the permits, getting all the painting done and the building and getting everything out there for people to hear about.
Yes. What will you call it?
It's called Ravens Antiques and Collectibles.
What will make you unique?
Well, we're very unique just in the inspiration from the title Ravens, which comes from my long love of Gothic literature, Edgar Allan Poe inspired. So our entrance is going to all be Gothic Victorian. It's going to have a really cool look when you come in. We just finished all the painting and we're doing all the decorating. We also are going to offer a community room for all of our vendors where we're going to offer monthly classes in unique things like anything from jewelry making to quilting to how to post things if you're selling online on Etsy as well. So that's going to be one of our big draws. We're also going to try to do other events like garden events or food trucks to kind of bring things in to connect with the community.
Let's expand on that, Eric. Yep.
Yes. So as Jeremy was saying, like, we're going to provide classes for people that they're new, you know, to all these antiques or collectibles and they want to sell. So we're going to now with social media, that's a very good tool for us to provide to vendors and people in general. So yeah, we're going to have a lot of activities. We also have, different vendors in addition to our space, our store. We're going to have a warehouse. We call it Bodega. It's a big space for 60 vendors. Yeah, so it's a pretty big space, and like Jeremy mentioned, we just finished painting and doing all the booths, so we are so excited. Everything looks so good.
Yeah, the booths are all built now, and we're just painting them and finishing them up. So
for you following your passion, when do you anticipate an opening?
April, last week of April is what we're targeting.
Yes.
So last week of April, maybe first week of May. We wanted the weather to be nice because we have some fun invitations to some people out there. We have a magician who's going to show up,
man.
And we have, we're going to have some food catered.
And all these, people, friends that are coming to be part of this opening, is people that we have met through the years, through antiquing, through theater.
Through makeup. I mean, we just, all those worlds, it's so crazy. Like, some of my vendors are actually past parents of students I've taught or makeup clients from Eric. So it's just this intricate web of community that we've had from our nephew. We're raising our nephew now, and everywhere we go, he's like, we can't go anywhere without someone knowing you two.
As it should be. Eric Moore, in your world and makeup, do you have any stories to share? How important is the way we present ourselves these days?
Well, it's very important, and it's more about like how you feel about yourself and how care, like self-care is very important. And I think makeup, it's a great tool for women or men, to feel good about themselves and obviously to present yourself to the world, but it's mainly for self-care. So
what's the biggest mistake we make?
Ooh, mistake. Not trying something new.
Love it. Write that down.
He also does really good with character makeup too. So I know he talks a lot about beauty, but when we first met, he actually wasn't a makeup artist, and I was the second high school in the nation to get the rights to do Cats, the musical. And yes. I knew he was talented because I'd seen him drawing, and I was like, you're going to be my makeup artist for the show. And we'd only been together like 6 months, and he's like, what? He designed the makeup.
Big
it was,
show.
It was so fabulous. He actually got more publicity in the press than I did as the director. I was happy for him, but like people kept coming to interview and they were like all about the makeup. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, hello, second director in the nation to do Cats. But he's done almost all of my, I've directed over 40 shows and he does all the makeup for all the characters. And so he does really great character stuff.
Yeah, and now I've taught makeup for like Circle Theater, for example, or schools, other high schools that have a theater program. So I'm still involved with the theater world. But I do, you know, weddings, events, different types of makeup.
Nice. Well, again, as I've said now probably for the third time, you're following your passions. It's evident. You're doing something new before it's too late and all that good stuff. What do you leave us with there, Gerson?
Well, you know, obviously, this is a new business that me and my husband are going for, and I just want to invite people to be part of it. And well, I thank you first of all for inviting us to your show, and but yes, give us support. You know, we're starting out, and we want the community of Grand Rapids to support us.
Jeremy, how do we find out more information about your opening and more?
Well, we have a website right now, ravensantiques.com. So anybody can go there, and we have a little interest application if you want to be a vendor. We also have several different social media accounts. So we are out there on Facebook. We have Instagram. But if you are interested in being a vendor, fill out that application, and we respond within 24 hours. We are filling up fast. Just yesterday, I got about 15 different vendor applications. So we're collecting all that information, and then we're going to be contacting the vendors again in the next couple weeks to come do a walkthrough and start choosing their spaces and setting up their little worlds as well.
I wonder what you talk about when it's not about antiques and makeup. There we are. All right. Thank you, Jeremy and Eric, for your good work. One more time, shopravensantiques.
Yep, at gmail.com. If you want to send an email, shopravensantiques@gmail.
Or our website, ravensantiques.com.
I can find you for makeup there, too.
No, that's Eric Makeup, ericmakeup.com.
With a CK.
With a CK.
It's all the specifics.
I know, right?
Thank you very much to you and your passions. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The work by my next guest, created in collaboration with a Ukrainian school principal, one of our guests, and shaped by the real worlds of children, the story, a bridge between worlds. The story is Seeds of the Sun, a story of adventure, curiosity, and connection from Michigan to Ukraine. Couple of foxes involved. Kelly Peel from Muskegon in the house. Kelly, good morning to you. Kelly, say that one more time because I got to turn your mic on. Good morning. Good morning to
you. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Glad that you are here. And Tatiana, we speak to you, I think, from Ukraine. Good morning to you, Tatiana.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
You are quite welcome, and thank you for the collaboration and for certainly what you do for your students. We'll get to you in just a second. Kelly Peel, thank you for, well, representing Michigan in this matter. Let's get right into the conversation. We've spoken before. You an author and certainly a collaborator. How did this come together, you representing Michigan and Tatiana representing Ukraine?
Well, when I saw the war break out, I wanted to find a way that I could help. So I got onto a platform called ENGIN. It's capital ENG, lowercase IN. And once a week, we work on Tatiana's English, but you will discover it's great English. And because she has such wonderful English, we became friends quickly. And then we decided that we should write a book so that other people could have a connection like we had.
Have you ever met in person, Kelly?
We haven't, but in June we're going to meet in England, and I'm going to take the books and Michigan maple syrup and some dry blueberries and
giving away some of the secrets in the book. All right, Tatiana, remind me of how you have come to collaborate with Seeds of the Sun.
Well, as for me, it was a big will to my English more fluent, more efficient. So I signed up to the program of Engine. By the way, this program was founded by Ukrainian lady who lives in America now. And I just wanted to make my English better. And we were matched with Kelly, and it was a great blessing. It was a blessing because we became friends, and during our long and warm talks, we discussed everything, what is happening in Ukraine. We shared different experiences, and the idea of this book was born during one of these warm talks.
Thank you for that. More than a story, this book is an act of hope. 100% of proceeds supporting a Ukrainian school community. Of course, that's your world, Tatiana. More on Seeds of the Sun and what is happening, Kelly.
So Seeds of the Sun is about a West Michigan fox that decides to go visit his cousin, Sophia, who is Tatiana's granddaughter, actually.
In real life.
In real life, yes. So he goes over there and he takes pictures and treats from West Michigan, like dried blueberries and Michigan maple syrup and pictures of sand dunes and wetlands. So the mom fox in Ukraine named Tatiana.
There we are. Yeah. Comes home.
looks at the pictures and realizes how similar West Michigan and Ukraine really is. So they go visit sites in Ukraine and the beauty, and they have fun. And then they create a Ukrainian sweet treat, Nalesnika. And Tatiana, you're going to have to correct me if I don't say it quite right. And we had a chef in Midland, Michigan, named the Sergei's Bakery, and he developed a recipe for us, but the recipe has a twist. It adds a little Michigan maple syrup to it. So it's about connection, and connection, you know, as my other books are all about settling our nervous system to help us feel better. And so this book is connection. It's also about curiosity and adventure and being together.
Yes. All right. Add to that, Tatiana.
Yeah. I want to add that you are absolutely right. This book is not only about. It's not only a book. It's hope. It's support. It's you know that the territories which are described in this book are occupied now, but we know we absolutely sure that these territory will be Ukrainian again. And this book is about our former life, peaceful, without war, without any threats, where people lived. Just their best life without all these attacks. So this book is a hope, is meaningful for us. And you know that all American people who donated, who supported, who bought this book, they made a great thing for us. We have already bought 5 new computers for our students, and they will help. These computers will help my students to develop their skills, which will be very important for their future. So I want to say that thanks to generosity of American people, we change lives of our students, of our Ukrainian kids, and it's very meaningful. So I'm so appreciate Kelly and all American people who donated, who fundraised for our students, for our support.
And more can do that. Kelly Peel, add to this conversation. Again, you and Tatiana, Seeds of the Sun, your collaboration, Tatiana in Ukraine here, you representing wonderful state of Michigan, particularly Muskegon. The computers, tell us more about this.
So when I talked to her, I said, of course, 100% of the proceeds are going to go to you. Do you want pencils? Do you want blankets? Because they were very cold. Do you want a generator? What do you want? We may not raise much, but what do you want? she said immediately, we need computers. These kids are going to be vital to the rebuilding of this country when this war is over. So we've raised enough to send money for 5 computers. They're already installed. The kids are working on it. We're close to another 5, Tatiana. And so we're very excited. Some people have just, it's a little more than $200 a computer. Some people have just donated $200. Some people have, I had one person buy 30 books yesterday. Yep, and they're spreading the books out just to remind everybody how beautiful Ukraine is and how much hope they have. And the computers are to keep these kids going during the war. And Tatiana keeps telling me it's more than a computer. It's a sign that they are noticed, that we know that they are sometimes in bunkers learning, sometimes above ground learning. So the it's symbolic, but yet it's also really practical.
Yes, sounds good. Tatiana, again, your side of that story. And I like the end, near the end, there are a variety of quotes, Voices Without Borders. Expand on to both of this, Tatiana.
You know that children in Ukraine are experiencing difficult emotions from their despair, from fear to uncertainty. So it's very important to them to know that there in Michigan, in the state Michigan, somebody of them even do not know where is it on the map, and we discussed it. There are some American people, American teenagers who are thinking about them, who are interested about life in Ukraine, and it's very important for them to know. It gives us some hope that we are not alone in our fight, that there are a lot of people who support, who know about us, who are ready to help us. And it's meaningful. It's more than just collaboration. It's about connection of young generations from all over the world.
Yes. Kelly, with just a couple minutes left, let me ask you, I mean, this is an ongoing project. Expand more.
So, like Tatiana said, this is about connection. Connection to others helps our nervous system. It helps us feel better about us. So we have connected a group of 6th graders at Reese Puffer Intermediate, and they have been able to talk to Tatiana's students through video. The students asked them questions, and then the Ukrainian students responded back, and that's through Third Coast Learning Project. It's a grant, and I work with Cassie Nastasi on that. The other thing they were able to do is to live Zoom with Tatiana's daughter, Ira, who is in England. And she, as a younger mom, talked about being a refugee and what helps her feel welcome and what has been difficult. And so the connection is more than just reading a children's book. It's deep, and it's rich, and it's real.
Yes. Staying with you, Kelly, and then looking to say our goodbyes to you, Tatiana. Here we are, mid-March. What is next? You're going to see each other in June. The book is available, obviously, here in West Michigan.
It is at kellypeel.com, and it's kellypeel.com. On there, you can make a donation directly to Tatiana's school for these computers. We'd like to get her a whole classroom of computers, or you can buy the book. You can buy the book on Amazon. You can buy it at Book Nook and Java Shop in Montague, at the Bookman in Grand Haven. And if you have a spot that you want these books to be sold, just reach out to me and I will make that happen.
That's P-E-E-L. Tatiana, Seeds of the Sun, what do you leave us with from your land of Ukraine and the lives that are being touched?
I want again say that we are so grateful for support, for help, and thankful for everything Kelly does, everything all American people does for Ukraine, for Ukrainian people, for Ukrainian children. Thank you so much.
Well, it'll be fun for you two to meet in person. Good enough? Yay? Yeah. Thank you very much, Kelly Peel and Tetiana, on behalf of Seeds of the Sun, a story of adventure, curiosity, and connection, big time, from Michigan to Ukraine. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a wonderful opportunity. Anything with the word literacy has an opportunity. It's the Lakeshore Literacy Summit come March 27th. Many involved in the partnership to bring this to fruition. Two such to talk about and to represent. Melissa Moore, you no stranger to our airwaves with the many hats you wear. What brings you to this organization?
So I am proudly a member of the Muskegon Rotary Board and the chair of the Literacy Committee, as well as being the executive director of Read Muskegon. So a lot of different reasons I'm here.
And so much happening with both of your worlds, correct?
Yes, yes, sure.
Yes. Talk to me about you, if you would, Dale Swihart, and your representation.
I'm the current president of the Grand Haven Rotary Club, and I'm delighted to be here to promote this upcoming event.
Wonderful. I trust from both of you, I'll start with you, Dale, Rotary is strong on the Lakeshore.
It is. It is. And this event actually happened, or is happening, because three incoming presidents at the time, about a year ago from now, got our heads together at an event called PELS, which is training for incoming presidents. We said, we need to do something in our area locally. Our clubs are so close together. Why aren't we cooperating? So in the midst of that conversation, the topic of literacy came up, and here we are a year later creating this summit.
How important is literacy in your world, Melissa?
Well, it's not just important in my world. It's really important in everyone's world, and I think that is kind of the driving force behind the summit. Over half of the adults in our country read below a sixth grade level. In Muskegon County, I'm not as familiar with statistics in Ottawa County, but in the state of Michigan, we are 44th when it comes to third grade reading in the country. Muskegon County, over 60% of our third graders are reading below grade level. So literacy impacts everybody's life. If you're a business owner, it impacts your workforce readiness. It impacts people's ability to interact with your business, voting, driving, all the things, managing your health, all the things we do every day are impacted by literacy.
Hence, let's have a summit come the 27th. All right, again, Lakeshore Literacy Summit. Is this a first time or is this an annual, Dale?
This is the very first time, so it's a bit of an experiment in terms of cooperating between the three clubs on a local project, but also the topic. And we're hoping we can get the public out to hear more of the story.
Let's do the 101s. Where am I headed?
This is going to be held on Friday, March 27th. At the Trillium Event Center, which is on Van Wagner Road in Spring Lake Township, just north of Grand Haven and just south of Muskegon, partway in between.
That makes sense, yes. Who needs to attend, Melissa?
So I would say anybody who is interested in finding out more about how literacy is impacting our economy, our communities, our education system. You don't have to become a tutor. You don't have to become a volunteer. Business owners, elected officials, community members, anybody who just wants to know what's going on and maybe get inspired to figure out a way that they can be part of the solution.
Nice, leaving with those action items with an extra hop in your step. All right, is it a day, Dale?
It's a morning event. It's a Friday. We start at 8:30 in the morning with a continental breakfast and a keynoter, who is Melissa, who's going to be keynoting for us. And we end by 12 noon. And we think it'll be a good way to spend the morning. Let me tell people how they can register, because there's still time. If they will, and this sounds a little bit self-serving, and I don't mean it that way, but it's the one place we have the flyer posted. If they go to grandhavenrotary.org, on our website, you'll find the flyer. And there's a QR code. It's free, and it takes you 10 seconds to register.
Yes. All right, Melissa, what will you speak about?
What will I speak about? So again, I think it's important to just lay the foundation so that people understand the depth of the issue. I always say if illiteracy was a healthcare issue, it would be considered an epidemic. That's how critical it is. Our governor made it one of the highlights of her recent State of the State, so we know that she's paying attention. It's a bipartisan issue, so everybody should care about this. It can't just be a Republican or Democratic thing. It's going to have to take all of us together to create solutions. So what I'm going to talk about is helping people understand the depth of the issue, all the great things we're doing to try to solve it, and how anybody can find a way to be a part, big or small, in the solution.
Dale, what else will the morning be filled with?
Besides Melissa's keynoting address, we'll also have four workshops, and these I think will be really fascinating. I mean, the keynoting will be great too, but these will be fascinating. One is, what is the role of the brain in reading? How does the brain help or get in the way of a person's ability to read? There'll be one on how to read to your children or grandchildren, how to be more effective as you read to children. We have one on how to become an advocate for literacy issues. And Melissa, I'm missing one.
The literacy ally training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and...
So that's a training that Reed Muskegon developed that we have done all over Muskegon County and outside of the county. We've done it for credit unions. We've done it for every single department of the city of Muskegon. We have done it for educators. And basically what it does is helps you, if you are in a public-facing role, be able to identify signs that somebody might be struggling with literacy and know how in that moment to help them complete whatever transaction it is that they're trying to do, help you get the information accurately that you need, and conduct it all with dignity so that the person who may be struggling isn't embarrassed, that they leave feeling like they've accomplished what they came in to accomplish. And it, again, it's something that anybody, we've done it for credit unions, like I said, healthcare providers, really simple ways to change your marketing materials so that you make sure that what you're putting out into the world is accessible to, again, half of the adults who are reading below sixth grade.
And Shelley, there's one more component that I don't want to overlook. We have invited agencies from Ottawa and Muskegon counties who specialize in literacy, in tutoring programs, and to give individuals an opportunity to connect with those groups and possibly become volunteers. So we're hoping that as people become informed, they will also be inspired to step up and say, this is an area where I could really make a difference in our community.
That will be, I imagine, one of the significant action items is how do I walk out and then make a call to volunteer, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, Reed Muskegon does a lot of that work in Muskegon County. There's Reed Ottawa and Ottawa County. United Ways are really active in recruiting and placing volunteers in early literacy. The libraries.
All of the libraries are going to be represented too.
Yep, the libraries will all be there. Some of our other community organizations, the ISDs. So it's really helping people understand that there's a whole scope and variety of ways that you can get involved.
And one should be reading to kids and grandkids as early as the womb, correct?
You know, Shelley, I thought of another perspective on this. Yeah. There's that famous saying, you know, you can give me a fish and I'll eat for a day. Mm-hmm. You can teach me to fish and I will eat for a lifetime. The same thing is true of reading. That same principle applies. There are so many people that have a hand tied behind their back because they are illiterate and they just can't do what it takes to pull themselves up.
Yeah.
And again, it's happening right in our own backyard.
It is.
So there we are.
Yeah, I always say everybody every day interacts with somebody who's struggling to read and they just don't know it. So
what do you leave us with, Melissa Moore?
What do I leave you with? Wow, that's a big call. I would say...
Get yourself to the summit,
I would say,
one.
Please join us at the summit. It is free. I think you will come away with a lot of great information and inspiration. You will understand, again, why we keep saying it's going to take all of us together to really create long-term solutions. So I think that's the biggest call today is please come and join us.
And good things are happening with Reed Muskegon?
Yes, they are, and that's for another time, but we are getting ready to open our Literacy Summit in downtown Muskegon Heights in June, so very exciting.
Dale Swihart, give me details on how to get registered for this March 27th.
Okay, once again, if you will go to grandhavenrotary.org, you will find our flyer posted. It has a QR code. Use it, and it's a very simple process. This is free. Reminder, it's Friday, March 27th, 8:30. To 12 p.m. at the Trillium Event Center. And we hope that, and walk in. If you don't register and you know about this, walk in. We'd love to see you.
Yes, thank you all for making the trip. Enjoy the summits. May it be the first of many. Melissa Moore and Dale Swihart, thank you very much.
Flying by, that may be my opinion, but let's talk about heading up to Mackinac Island come spring. It's official, meaning Mackinac Island is preparing to welcome guests back for the 2020 season. We've talked before a little bit about how you prepare for this. I know the job market needs workers and more, but Stephanie Casseline, I'm glad that you are here to talk about spring. That's a good topic. Good morning.
Good morning. That's my favorite topic.
Very cool. I don't know. Summer's pretty close behind that. Do you begin to discuss the welcoming of the 2026 season, Stephanie?
Oh, yes. We're gearing up for all things Mackinac Island and another great season. We just announced all of the new activities, events, and things that our businesses are featuring for this upcoming season. Shelley, over the winter, many of them work so hard on renovations, on planning, on new gear and activities and offerings for guests. And then, you know, they get to showcase all of that when spring comes.
Well, spring official as we are speaking and more. There's nothing like, of course, summer on Mackinac. What's the elephant in the room? When do you expect visitors to begin to arrive?
Yeah, our season really, you know, we are a May through October destination. But our season, we start with Sneak Peek Week on April 24th. So what that looks like is kind of a behind-the-curtain experience on Mackinac Island. Things are very slow still. Some businesses are still closed. You'll definitely want to check our website for that opening day page. But one of the coolest things, at least in my opinion, that you can do during that time is Grand Hotel actually does their soft opening. And what they do is they open all of the rooms that are not occupied. So you can actually go in and tour the 300-plus rooms and see all of them. They're all decorated differently. I did this one year and spent about 4 hours there. It was incredible. So that Sneak Peek Week is April 24th, and then our official opening day is May 1st.
This is a big year for all of us in America, I'd like to think. This is a historical America 250 programming across, the U.S. of A. But do you also, will you also have it across your island's parks along with the many renovations and more?
Oh, absolutely. You better believe the island will be celebrating the 250th. Leading that charge is really the state park, so Mackinac State Historic Parks. They're going to have some specific programming for the 250th celebration. They also do the 4th of July really big, which is always a good time. In addition to that, Grand Hotel is offering some 250th events. They also have a nice package that they're putting together celebrating that. And then looking at the 4th of July, we always have two firework displays. So it's truly a bang on the 4th, and we have a good time. And, yeah, we'll be definitely honoring that milestone.
All right, let's get into, again, what you are doing this year. Will you have some renovations for us to explore?
Yes, you know it. This is the busy, you know, this winter season, the busy time of the year for all things renovations on Mackinac Island. And spring and summer and fall is when all the folks get to enjoy them. So looking at that, the most notable one is perhaps Harbor View Inn in the downtown, just outside of downtown on Main Street. They're renovating the entire inn. So all of the guest rooms, they did the lobby and public spaces last year, but all of the guest rooms and bathrooms, they're doing a complete overhaul, including their landscaping, which I'm probably looking forward to even the most is an overhaul on that. But you can't forget Grand Hotel, and they've been doing a five-year facade restoration. They have a new lobby interior, and there's just so much happening, Shelley. We could talk for an hour about all the different renovations and things going on, but those are just some of the highlights so far.
Well, one of these times we will dedicate a whole hour to the island for sure. Roving Microphone needs to stay busy. Tell me more about the high-frequency ferry service here.
Yeah, so similar to previous years, folks have two options for the ferry. They have Scheffler's Mackinac Island Ferry, and they also have Arnold Transit Company. So both of those ferry companies leave from, two places on the mainland. They leave from St. Ignace above the bridge in the UP, and they leave from Mackinac City below the bridge. They'll be running every 30 minutes to every hour, depending on the season. Sometimes during the busy peak months, I'm talking July and August, they'll run every 15 minutes. So we just encourage folks to always check that schedule. You don't want to miss the last ferry off the island, or unless you do, plan that out. But yeah, it's, you know, the two ferry companies do a great job getting folks to the island, and we're looking forward to them starting up again.
Cool. Preparing you for a trip to Mackinac Island, Stephanie Castelline, on behalf of the obviously wonderful work of the Tourism Bureau and more. Tell me about, I know we can walk, run, skip totally around the island or up in between. Is there a Chad's Wonderful Walking Tour that might be new for this year?
Yeah. Chad Bennett, he has Chad's Wonderful Walking Tours, and he does a fantastic job. He's a local islander. He's there year-round, and man, if you want stories, he is the guy to go with. He'll take you on a few different routes to your choosing, and he really customizes the experience. He's a great guy and a great tour guide. You know, we also have other tours on the island, which have really become popular in the past few years. There's Inside Out Walking Tours. They specialize in a one-hour child's treasure hunt, so fun for families specifically. We also have CAP Excursions, C-A-P. That's with Chuck Pirani, and he does bike tours, so bicycle tours around the island or through the interior. Lots of options to see the island in other ways now.
Yes. And what about what is inside the island, the walks on and the hikes and more? Tell us a little bit about that adventure. I've even ridden a horse through that.
Yeah. Well, we have 70 miles of trails. I find that number to be incredible on our small little island, just under 8 miles around. I mean, we're 84% state park, 70 miles of trails, 8 miles around. You look at those numbers and you'll realize just how natural the area is, how outdoorsy Mackinac Island is, how protected it is. And that is truly due to it being first the second national park in the U.S. and then the state's first state park. And so that protection really allows for folks to get out and hike and bike and explore and get off the, you know, main street and the beaten path and go get lost in the interior. And the good thing is you don't really ever get lost. You might get turned around, but you always find your way to the edge and end up back downtown eventually. So pretty difficult to get lost, and you're guaranteed just amazing views and undiscovered places. I get so many people who say, you know, ask where I live, and I try and explain it to them. They're like, oh, I've never been up that way. It's because it's up about 5 hills. A lot of people don't make it up that far. But once you do, there's a whole other side to the island that people don't see. And we always encourage them to go out and explore, especially during those busy days, and then come back in the evening and enjoy quiet but lively nights.
Talk to me a little bit about food and drink choices.
Yeah. You know, this is something that I'm really looking forward to, the food and drink options. Of course, we have many that are staples and are already there that we enjoy, but some new things that are going in notable is Adirondack's Pizza. That's down at Mission Point, so right on the east side of the island when you're going around M-185, maybe on your bicycle, or some people like to walk or run that. But it's going to be a grab-and-go pizza place, and the idea is to enjoy it in their Adirondack chairs. They have the great lawn down there right on the water. It's beautiful. Kick a soccer ball, fly a kite, throw a frisbee. You can also enjoy pizza before you go on your ride. As well as I'd like to mention the Mackinac Social. So this is a newly rebranded restaurant. It's right downtown, right next to the ferry, Arnold Transit Ferry, from Mackinac City. And it's where the Verde's Taqueria used to be, but it's now called Mackinac Social. They're going to have an elevated menu, nautical theme, and I'm really looking forward to that one. And one more that I'm excited about, Winchester's Whiskey and Bourbon Room. They are putting in a piano bar. So I'm excited to see. I've heard rumblings of what that is going to look like and be like, and if that is the case, I'm super stoked to see that in 2026. So yeah, lots of great options coming up.
It makes you excited to think about what it does for a first or second time visitor. Lastly, but not leastly, talk to me about why fudge is the thing on the island.
Well, we are the fudge capital of the world, so fudge is very important to us and to the culture and history of the island. One, you know, you can get fudge now. You can order it online. The shops are closed, like if you walk down the street, but they are actively making fudge every, well, maybe not every day right now, but very often sending it out to folks. Even in the off season. But during the season, Shelly, you know, we've talked about this. Oh my gosh, walking down Main Street with that smell of fudge through the air is just, nothing matches it, nothing beats it. But one thing to note is that Maze Fudge, one of the oldest fudge shops on the island, they are, they've had a change of hands, and they are now Maze Famous Mackinac Fudge and Somewhere in Time Cafe. So we are looking forward to seeing what that looks like. I keep saying we're looking forward to this, but there's so much excitement and so many new things that happen with a new season that, you know, as a tourism bureau, we get told all these things or these ideas or talk to members and they're like, hey, this is up, you know, coming up and we're thinking of doing this. The ideas are just so incredible. There's so many opportunities. And what I see and I love is that people truly care. They care about, you know, what the customer thinks. They want to make it a great experience for people coming to visit the island. They want to make it a memorable experience, and I think it's shaping up to be a great season.
Wonderful. Okay, how do I best plan for a spring and moving into summer visit to Mackinac Island, Stephanie?
Yeah, visit us at MackinacIsland.org. That's the official website of the Mackinac Island Tourism Bureau. I want to add, we have seen quite a few scams and you know, things that are a little funky and are using Mackinac Island in the name that just aren't from the island. So be sure to double check your sources. MackinacIsland.org is the official Mackinac Island Tourism Bureau website. That's where you'll find all the information, blog posts, accommodations, restaurants, and things to do, as well as our social channels. We're, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you name it. You can find a little bit more live, if you will, information there.
Great. Take care of the island. We'll see you soon. Thanks. We'll talk again. Steph Castellano on behalf of the Mackinac Island Bureau of Tourism, Tourism Bureau, and more. Take care.
Thank you.